Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Love the 80s? Then you'll love Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Over on Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
Fastos, we need to talk to the lady. Can you give her the intro of all intros, please?
Our next guest has sold over 35 Woo-hoo! Million books in 33 different languages, which is not bad for someone who once said she'd never write a book. Her latest bestseller, My Favourite Mistake, is out today. So please welcome a woman who really knows prose. She's the bee's knees. If you please, it's Marion Keyes.
Hi, Mazza.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Vassos. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming in. So many people. People excited about you coming on the show today, and you are very welcome. No Bra Mondays. When you're writing something like that about your main character or a character in one of your books, is that just a bit of fun? Do you take it a bit? Do you think, oh, that's fun, I'll stick that in there? Or how does that happen?
I mean, definitely. I think it would be my dream to have like No Bra Mondays, right. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, right. and Sundays. Yeah. And it also, you mentioned that I wrote sex scenes. There is a sex scene coming quite soon after that decision. Yeah. So it was kind of handy to have the bra already gone, if you get me.
So did you go back to plant that seed? I did.
Yeah, I back and forth the whole time.
That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, the logistics of getting clothes off can be very awkward to write.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, that's already got one garment out of the way.
That's so funny, isn't it? That's so clever. That's like a comedian planting seeds for a comedy bombs they're going to explode later on, which you do all the time, don't you? That's the thing.
Well, thank you. But it is just a question of rewriting.
It's,
you know, I go
just
back and forth.
Question.
No, but it is. No, seriously. Because, you know, you write one version of it. You think, okay, it's fine. It's a bit flat, but it'll do. And then, you know, I'll have a small idea. And I think, okay, well, I can link that to something else, you know, a bit further on. But it means I also have to write something further back.
Mm.
So it's like doing a tapestry. It's like layering a tapestry.
Well, it is and it isn't. It depends who's in charge of the controls of that particular tapestry. What it screams to me, this book and your other books. This is the first one I've read properly. I'm happy to confess that.
No problem.
You know, I mean, you read it. That's what you want, isn't it?
You want
fans. You want your base, fan base, and you want new readers. What this screams to me, and tell me if I'm right, tell me if I'm wrong, is that you love the process, because what you've just done is, what you've just talked about, what you've just described, is you laying down the words, laying down the story, and then having fun with it. Whereas I read other books that are very, very good, but you can sort of sense the sort of heavy lifting in it. And of course, you have to go to the gym and you have to put all the weights on the bars of writing, but then you want to crack on in the gym and you want to say to your personal instructor, right, what are we doing next then? Yeah, I'm not ready to go home yet. And that's, to me, how your writing comes across.
That is so lovely of you. Okay, I mean, one of the things really is that my writing is very conversational, because that's how I learned to tell stories. And I want to write a book that I would like to read, because I have to spend 2 years in that world. And so I want it to be about people I like. Also, I love playing around with language. I think that's maybe an Irish thing, or maybe just the home I was brought up in. You know, in any chance to be witty or to subvert with them, you know, using a different word, I really enjoy that. But it's the world building, especially with this book. I wanted to create a world where people felt safe, you know, where kind of all the hard, pointy stuff of the real world kind of is kept at bay. And it's just set in this small town with interesting people and a 20-year-old off again, on again, love story that never really happened. So I write a world and characters that I want to be with and in.
And also the title, My Favourite Mistake. We all want to have a favourite mistake or two in our lives, don't we? Because, you know, in the end, it's the mistake that gets you to the pot of gold, which is where you want to be. This book starts off in COVID, and I have been sort of allergic to anything with a COVID context until about now, because it was still too soon. It was too near.
Raw.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely.
And I'm thinking, oh, I read that, you know, I'm into the first chapter, second chapter. It's clearly in COVID. And I'm thinking, oh, this feels, why? Oh, I'm all right with this now. There seems to be enough sort of post-COVID water under the bridge, for most of us at least, for it to be okay again. Did you bear that in mind when you were writing it?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, I've kind of forgotten almost everything about it. There's been a collective forgetting, because who blame us, you know? But I needed to write a little bit of COVID, because it's a post-COVID life pivot that she's done. Like so many people did, like it's incredible really, that like out of something so horrific, a lot of people thought, you know what, life is fragile, life is fleeting. I don't like how I'm living and I'm going to live in a different way.
Yeah.
And that was the only reason I put it in, because, but I moved briskly through it, as you saw, you know, it's like just to show that like her job is no longer doing it for her, you know, and she wants to be with her family who are 3,000 miles away. But even writing it, I knew that I had to keep it short. You know, I didn't want to freak people out and think, oh no, I don't want to remember that.
Yeah.
So it was necessary, but
it's great. No, but it's completely great. You know, I'm not making any excuses for it. How could I do that? Why should I do that? It's not my place to do that in the first place. I actually loved it. And, you know, her Anna, the main character, she's with someone. And because of COVID, do they move in together or not? Because they are happily apart, even though they're together. Geographically, they're apart. They get together. They think, oh, no, this doesn't work. This relationship doesn't work like this. And if it doesn't work like this, where's it going? Well, maybe it's not going anywhere. So COVID accelerates the process of what was maybe going to happen anyway, or even worse, may not have happened, and they may have just drifted. Because worse than drifting apart is drifting and not apart.
Yes.
Which is where they were sort of heading, wasn't it?
Completely. A kind of a benign stasis.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and she is a character who is, she's quite independent and she's courageous.
Yes.
So she decides it's not, I love him still. I respect him. I just don't want my life to be attached
too much
to his
gong
anymore. Too much?
Too much gong.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes,
he gongs, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, he's a beautiful man. He's very spiritual. Yeah. He does a lot of meditation. Yes, and the gongs, as you say.
He brings his gong with him. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. This is the thing, wherever
don't
you go.
Don't mind hearing about the gong. Just don't want to hear the gong.
Gong. Yeah, exactly. Do it in your own time. Yeah, gong your gong.
Gong off.
Yeah, yes. Oh, very good.
You love a phrase like that. Also, she works on behalf of a makeup firm, and she's a PR person, and she fights fires. That's what PR people do a lot. They actually don't get you publicity. They try and stop
the bad stuff.
Bad pub. You know this better than I do. And you seem to know a lot about it. You've dealt with PRs yourself. I think the people who know more about PRs than other than PRs themselves are people who've been represented by them. So I'm like, this is so well informed. This is so on the money because I've been here. Another thing about COVID is she's worried about her job because she's in makeup. Makeup sales are clearly going to go down because people don't have to look like anything because they're not allowed out of their doors. Makeup sales went up.
It's bananas, isn't it? It went through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, it was makeup and hand weights.
Yeah, well, retail, any retail.
Yes, yeah. You know. I mean, I remember I kept buying new foundations.
Yeah.
Even though, like, the only person I saw was my husband and sometimes the poor delivery men who had to stand at the gate and fling packages at me. Yes. It was really odd. You know, I suppose we had to find ways of, you know, generating the dopamine that we would normally kind of manage
so
outside
crazy,
in the
man.
World. Yeah.
So crazy. Retail therapy plus, wasn't it?
Yes, and so, food.
Yeah, weights, anything that you could keep fit with, even though people, they were buying the idea of keeping fit.
Yes.
You couldn't get a canoe or a kayak for love nor money, could you?
Yeah, bikes as well.
And, pelotons.
Yeah.
Well, bikes, they ran out of minerals that they couldn't mine the minerals quick enough to put together the metal to build the frames to import them to the Western Europe and America to make the bikes.
Yeah, bikes that would retail for £500 second hand would retail at a grand.
All right, so all that's going on.
Yes.
So all that's going on. So she is in her macro is now in the micro of COVID and lockdown, and she decides I need to get back home.
Yeah, because she's Irish, she's living in New York.
Yeah.
Her family are 3,000 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides to surrender to the universe.
Surrender!
And she took that jump.
Yeah.
And she binned the lot.
See.
The man, the job, the flat. moved to Ireland. And she expected, as you would, yes, if you've been working in PR in New York, that you'll just swank into Dublin and say, and you'll be fighting off the job offers. Mm. And they were all a bit, yeah, well, you do know PR is all about personal relationships, don't you? And you know nobody. And that was a shock. But she had friends who have just set up, this feels real to me, you know, a fancy resort in Connemara on the Atlantic, which is the best sea in the whole universe. This fancy resort for, like, you know, very rich people. But the local town is annoyed and she's down there to try and troubleshoot. And just writing that whole community was just such a delight, because I think any small town is a microcosm of the whole world.
Yeah, of course.
We get everybody. And
especially in Ireland.
Especially in Ireland, yeah, where, like, you know, it is all very intimate. And while she is there, the connection is the luxury retreat, because it's old friends of hers. She is brought back into the path of this man, Joey, Narky Joey, they used to call him, because he was just one of these silent men who just, you know, glowered a bit, just looked a bit kind of sexy and mute.
Yeah.
And she and him have had this kind of on-off 20-year...
Frisson,
yeah, because nothing ever really happened. Mm. But they were always kind of at the wrong time for each other. And then they both went off, they married other people, and they both hurt each other as well. And then, like, 20 years on, they've both ended up in the same place. They're single and they are having to deal with, like, their attraction to each other. But also that thing of when you're middle-aged and you suddenly realise, ooh, I wish I'd handled that thing bit better, yeah, in my past. Or, oh, I have so much regret about the way I was in that situation. So it's about love and middle age. And it's also about how we forgive ourselves, mm, for the things we did when we didn't know any better.
Yeah, yeah. When we were young and foolish, we were young and foolish.
That's exactly it.
My favourite, yeah, phrase.
Yes. You know, if we had known better, we would have done better.
Of course. And what I like about it is it also tests the tenor of, you know, what ships have actually sailed and what ships have we imagined have sailed. And if certain ships have sailed because you have entered into different kinds of relationships, if you then untangle or untie yourself from those ships can return. Sensual ships, ships that, you know, if you sense they're not there anymore, you might feel embarrassed about getting romantic or getting a bit sexy. You know, is there a time when that is over, or is it situational, not chronological?
That is, you've put that so beautifully. Yeah, like, my feeling is we're never too old. That, like, for as long as we're alive, we're alive.
Yes.
And
come
that,
on, we're,
yeah,
alive,
we
guys.
We are alive.
We,
yeah,
got a pulse.
Exactly. And why should we deny ourselves even the choice to explore situations?
Yes.
You know, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
And really, I mean, the older I get, the more I know that, like, my emotions continue to be as intense and as, you know, the capacity for joy or curiosity, or friendship or love, they're still as vital as they ever were.
Yeah, well, they're as vital as they ever were, and they're not as chaotic.
Oh, absolutely.
So there may be fewer of them, but they are stronger, they're more identifiable, and they're more unignorable.
Yeah, you're so right, because we get better at knowing ourselves.
Yeah.
So we are better at knowing what's right for us and what isn't right for us.
Yeah.
But when something is right for us, we are allowed to go for it.
It just makes me excited just you talking about it. It really does, honestly. Often people over-catastrophize. That's what we do as human beings, especially the more sort of comforted we are and over-convenienced we are, the more we build dramas into our lives, because what's the point otherwise, one might imagine. But you can over-catastrophize. I suppose the opposite of that is
anti-catastrophication.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's not as bad, but it is bad, because you don't want to do that. You don't want to under-catastrophize situations. And I sense that Anna is somewhere in the middle. She's sort of got it. She seems to have it right, because she's got like, you know, 50% of this, 25% of that, and somewhere in the middle, it does help her make the right decisions. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, it's common sense really to think, well, if this doesn't work out, these bad things will happen.
Yes.
But if it does work out, or even if it doesn't work out, but I've tried.
Yes.
That will still be interesting and enjoyable. No, I think she's very, you know, of all my characters, she's probably the most grounded. And also she's quite independent.
Yeah.
You know, she's courageous. And I love that for her, because I love what she does with her life. she never wanted to have children. She never wanted to get married. She wanted to, like, from really young, she wanted to travel the world. And, you know, that kind of happened, and then she stopped in her 20s. But now that passion has come again.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, life is about ups and downs. Like, you know, we can be steady for a long time in our life, and then either we change or our circumstances change.
Yeah.
And it's about how we respond to those changes.
And it's also easy for her and anyone really to be a superstar in a room full of strangers. But then when you go back,
that's so good.
But when you go back home,
yes,
you go, no, no, look, yeah. Well, I was a big shot in PR in New York. Hang on a minute, we're Irish. We are PR.
Yeah,
that's what Islander, Irish people. I've never met an Irish person ever in my life that needs PR, because that's what you were born with it in your veins, weren't you? So she comes back with this is a superpower. I go, it's not a superpower here, I'm afraid.
We're just as good. That is beautiful. That's very generous of you to say about Irish people. But yeah, I suppose that whole chat and charm that might work in New York is kind of ten a penny in Ireland.
Yeah.
And like, as you say, her whole family are very, because, you know, in families, I don't know, I'm from one of five, but we all get given our identity very early on.
And by the way, you described theirs beautifully. Not dissimilarly, sorry.
Yeah. And just Anna got given hers, which was kind of a bit of a flake who looked out and got this amazing job. And they kind of won't let her be anything
just
else.
Tell us about her siblings briefly.
Okay, there are five siblings altogether.
Spooky,
I'm one
that,
of five.
Isn't it?
Yes, exactly. I know, I'm so tragic. I thought it would be so original with my first book, but they say everyone's first novel is autobiographical. So yeah, there's Claire, the eldest, who's kind of me, I suppose, in that she's very controlling. She's the woman with the clipboard standing at the bottom of the stairs shouting, "We'll be late." Then there's Margaret, the good girl. You know, Margaret is very, very good with money, knows about interest rates, can give you advice on mortgages, that sort of thing. She's been dead from the neck down from the age of 35. She, you know, doesn't want to have sex. She's very happily married. The pair of them are in agreement on it. Then there's Rachel, who I also identify with, you know, bad girl, gone to, you know, went very bad, came back and is now in recovery, you know, living a very clean living life, you know, very, very wise, very wise, has all the therapy speak.
Bottomed out.
Yes. And very knows the answer to all your situations. Then there is Anna, who was the only quiet one in the family of five. And so she spent her entire life wishing for an invisibility cloak. And all she wanted to do was escape her rowdy family where, yeah, okay, this is very familiar to me. Like in the Keys household, we never communicated in voices like this. You know, everything was high drama.
Yeah.
Like it was like yelling and shouting and door slamming. You don't understand. And where did you put my thing? And how dare you do this? And then 4 seconds later, we'd all be hugging.
Yeah.
You know,
high noise, low signal.
High noise, low
signal.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. God, that's very good. Yes. And then finally, there's Helen, who is kind of hard to describe in that she has no filter. She just says what's in. She makes enemies with ease because she just doesn't know that you're not meant to say these things out loud. But she's also immensely funny, and within her family, she has a huge amount of power. She's almost the pivot of the entire family. She's the youngest. So that's Anna. Anna is the one who wanted to escape and now has come back.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on, let
it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
So obviously she seems quite balanced. She's been a big shot of sorts in New York. She's had this lover here and that lover there, and she's coming back and she's not quite sure, and she thinks she's going to be headhunted, but she isn't. She has to get a normal job, and everybody told her this was going to be so, and then she goes back to the village, and all that's going on. But she does have not so much a soothsayer, but she is prone to a convenient butterfly appearance.
Yes.
Where does this come from?
Okay. Well, it's a thing that I've heard over and over again.
Yes.
People who have been bereaved have been visited by butterflies. Like, you know, my own mother, who is very, you know, she's, you know, robust opinions about my books. When she read this, she told me about she went to visit the old home where she'd grown up of, you know, and it's now, it's all tumbled down, like it was just a cottage. And she said that as soon as she got out of the car, like this butterfly came straight towards her, and she said she knew it was her mother. And so Anna had been married once a long time ago, and her husband died, and she kept trying to contact him through like mediums and, you know, tarot readings and all of that. And she had read that butterflies often appear. And a butterfly did appear. And on and off in her life, and that was 17 years ago, on and off in her life since then, a butterfly has visited her. You know, I mean, visited, like it flew around her. It was in the room. It was in wherever.
Yeah.
At a time when she had to make a decision.
She was wondering, should I do this, should I not do this?
Yeah,
and usually it's with the affirmative, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. When she sees the butterfly, she thinks, okay, I'll do this. I'll be fine. No matter what happens, I'll be fine. And it's kind of nice. And at the same time, she doesn't know whether it's her kind of, it's her deepest self that's giving her, like her most evolved self, or, you know, the universe, or her late husband. But she always takes it as a sign that it's safe to proceed. But it is so interesting, the amount of people who have, I've read it, and people have told me that they felt so comforted by the visit of a butterfly.
I would go with nature generally with that.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I now, if I spend as much time as I can in nature, and I, species, animals, furry, feathery friends, they come and visit you and they reassure you and they give you a look, you know, and even if they don't, they give you a moment for you to reflect on what you think anyway. And that's in a similar way is the same thing.
Yeah, I'm getting shivers even hearing you say that. I get that with trees. Like there's a huge oak tree near where I live, and it's just that sense that this has been here hundreds of years, and it will be here long after I've gone.
Yeah.
And my life is short.
Yeah.
And it would be okay. No matter what I do, you know, what decision I make, right or wrong, even if it's wrong, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
The tree has seen many, many lives. You know, people born, people living their lives, people leaving. And ultimately, we're all pretty much okay. That's what I get from it.
Yeah, no, I notwithstanding extreme situations, of course, I completely agree with you. When I was younger, I thought, oh, what must it like to be an oak tree? You know, same place all these years. And as I get older, all I want to be is an oak tree.
Yes. Oh, God, that's beautiful. And I only found out recently that, like, trees communicate with each other through their roots. I mean, I just think that's phenomenal.
Do you know about the leaves and the cows?
Well, I do know about the leaves and the cows. But, like, you know, that it's not, a tree is not just alone.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. This has just been handed to me. An evening with Marion Keys tonight, 7 p.m, if we ever let her go. She might be here till then. St. James's Church, Piccadilly. Tickets from waterstones.com. Oh, you've got to go to that. If you're anywhere within 100 miles of St. James's Church now, get a ticket for waterstones.com, An Evening with Marion Keys tonight, 7 p.m.
Thank you.
How does that pan out? How is An Evening with Marion Keys? Is it a Q&A? Do you have a keynote or what?
Yeah, a wonderful one of the youngs, Monica Heisey, she's a fabulous writer. She's interviewing me. So we'll have a chat, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes. And then, this is my best bit, and then a Q&A with the audience, which I love.
Of course you do.
I do, because, I mean, I feel like, although I haven't met all my readers, I feel like we are friends.
Yeah.
It is the part of my job that I enjoy the most.
What's the flavour of questions you get asked?
Oh, all kinds of things. I mean, people often ask about movie adaptations. They ask, where do I get my ideas from? They ask about various characters and how are they doing now? Sometimes they ask me about other things, like, you know, if I've been sharing stuff on Instagram or whatever. At the moment, I'm going through a huge Etsy phase of buying, like, hand-woven, wonky tapestries from Sweden, from the long agos.
Well, why?
Why not? Because they're so. Because they were done by individuals with their own individual Swedish hands, you know, and like everything is so sort of, it's unique and you know.
No, I get it. Individual Swedish hands. Done.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm like, I get very passionate about things. I never just like something. I adore it. You know, I go from.
Are you a fan of Scandinavia generally?
Oh, I love it.
Do you go there?
I do. And my favourite TV shows are like Murders in the Snow. Murders in Cold Places is my very favourite genre. Yeah, and I'll take any of them.
Well, it preserves the evidence so well, for a start.
This is it.
It's very
like
handy.
You get through a whole winter.
It's like getting the bra off when you know you've got a sex scene to write in a few pages.
Yes,
time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It takes care of a lot of things.
Jeez. Do you think the Scandinavian culture mindset has anything particularly in common with the Irish mindset?
To be honest, I don't think so. I find them very, they're so nice and they're so steady.
Yeah.
I find, you know, that they're very, I suppose the one thing that they do have that's in common with Ireland is that they don't like people getting above themselves.
Yeah.
You know, there's a real kind of distaste for flash in, you know, Norway, Sweden.
Well, equanimity
Denmark.
As well. There's a lot of that going on,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, and they really enjoy humour. No, I love them. I mean, I love, they make such beautiful things, but they're quiet, which I find unnerving. You know, I like a lot of chat. I like voices, you know, but I love going there.
You say you like a lot of chat, but there's so much thinking clearly that goes into all your books. So it can't all be chat.
No, it isn't. I mean, the funny thing is, I know I'm talking here and I am really, really enjoying this, but I am actually an introvert in that I need a lot of time on my own. Mm. Like, I mean, I joke and I say that I have to spend 22 hours a day, like, sequestered in a dark room. But I do, you know, I go out and I have a lovely time, but then I have to come home and recharge. Like, I'm not able to be kind of having the chats the whole time. That's kind of why I like my family so much, in that, like, I can lie on the couch surrounded by voices and chat and talk and rows and I can just say nothing if I want. So
it's,
I can be
it's the most
it,
soothing
not,
sound.
Yeah,
isn't
it is. Yes.
Even if they're having a row, you can still nod off to a good row, can't you?
Yeah, the rhythms of it are very, very soothing. Yes. Like being on a train.
Yeah. When I nipped out for a comfort break and you came in, Vassil, and you were talking to Marion about last night's appearance on The One Show, I didn't quite get the end of the... Well, I caught the end of the conversation, but it sounded quite funny.
I love the fact that, is it your mum who gets the first draft of any book and then you sort of, you're waiting on tenterhooks to hear her... Her response.
Yes, but I don't know how much I'm allowed to say.
Not the all of it.
Okay, right.
You said on The One Show.
No, I did not say it on The One Show.
Oh, right.
No, but I don't know.
I did not say it on The One Show.
I would have been in such trouble because I got a phone call from her afterwards saying that I did a good job on The One Show. Yeah. But my mother is, she is fabulously robust, as I said, and she goes through it with the red pen. But she insists that there is a certain... She insists there's a certain sex act that does not actually happen in real life, that it is just a thing that people say to sound fancy. What would it rhyme with?
No.
Yeah.
No,
okay, right, yeah. I'm looking at Vassil's for a hint. Yeah.
We can walk the full length of that counter.
Yeah, yeah.
There are various options. They all fulfil the role.
Yes. And she begs me to take them out.
Yeah.
That they're not real.
Okay.
Yeah, that it's I'll only embarrass myself.
But she likes this.
She did like this, yes. She said it was very funny. Also, she likes one of the characters goes through a lot of personal growth and takes responsibility for himself and everything. And she did say, yes, people can change, which I really... You've no idea how much that... was balm to my soul.
Can I add something to that?
Yes.
I don't think people can change, but I think they can change back.
Okay.
And I think the character she's talking about, and no spoilers here, certain people go through certain phases and then the people surrounding them who maybe don't have their best interests at heart say, well, leopards never change their spots. But who they're seeing isn't who that person was. And the person they're seeing is the resultant of the trauma or the experiences that they went through, and they can change back.
That is so perfectly put. Absolutely. Because, I mean, people are not born bad, you know, but people are wounded.
Yeah.
And as you say, people experience trauma and their behaviour changes. And yes, it's possible to kind of, with the work, to untangle those toxic responses and kind of reconnect with the person that you were before. Yeah, I mean, that's fabulous.
Yeah, I say, you know, people say, oh, you know, some people can never change. No, no, no. Nobody can't not change. Nobody can't not change. Everybody changes. And if people say, oh, so-and-so can't change, that's projection. That's you hoping that you haven't changed, but you have, because we all change.
Because we all change. We're all doing it all the time.
We all change. And you can call it evolution, revolution, devolution.
Life.
Life. It's life, isn't it? Marianne, you are wonderful.
You are wonderful. And so are you, Vassos.
Thank you.
Abigail in Worthing says, morning Chris Vass and the tremendous team. I've read every single one of Marianne Key's glorious books, most of them more than once. This charming man is my favourite and I've laughed and cried through it so many times I have lost count. When you're crying, well, sorry, when you're writing things that make the rest of us cry, do you cry when you're writing them?
Not really, to be honest. And it's simply because I have to be on very solid, steady ground in order to write something. I mean, I don't use writing as catharsis or therapy.
Yeah, no. But sometimes it might use you.
Yeah, yeah.
But no.
But no, I don't cry and I rarely laugh. I'm just trying to be as honest as I can be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that gets in the way, doesn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
Emma in Maidenhead, please can you let Marianne know that I've read every book she's written. Here we go again. I love her books. And in every book that she writes, I feel that she's speaking to me.
Oh, thank you so much, Emma.
I had the same experience at a Justin Timberlake concert once. He was just singing to me. Seriously.
I think he probably was.
Yeah.
Marianne, is there anything else you'd like to say to our beautiful listeners? The book is out today, My Favourite Mistake.
No, I mean, just thank you to anyone who's ever bought or read my books over the years. I am so grateful. Like, I really, really, I'm still pinching myself. And thank you for having me. It's
welcome.
Been such a huge pleasure.
How do you clean your keyboard?
Oh, my God, I have this wonderful thing. It's kind of like a blue gel. Do you know about this?
No, but I'd like to know about it.
It's... it's kind of like rubber,
right.
Runny rubber, and you pour it over your clean keyboard and it sets and it lifts all the dust and the things in between the keys. Like, it's amazing. You can get it. Am I allowed to say Amazon?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon. I believe there are yellow ones as well, but I prefer the colour blue.
I didn't intend this as an ad, but that was Marianne Keys on Marianne's Keys, wasn't it? Yeah. I really didn't intend it. I just wanted to know because they get dusty. The great thing about getting a new laptop is it's so clean.
Oh, so clean.
And your fingers fly across the...
And there's nothing underneath the keys.
No food.
No, horrible crumbs. You don't want
Chris,
to think
crumbs,
about it.
Crumbs is the thing.
Pringle crumbs.
Crumbs and skin.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Who are you reading at the moment? What are you watching? Anything you'd like to share?
I am watching The Breakfast Show because I missed it the first time around. Oh, I am besotted with the whole thing. I love it. What am I reading? I'm reading Kaz Freer's book, Five Something Deeds. I'm sorry.
Who's your favourite author?
Ooh.
Or author. No, you don't have to nail.
Okay, there's a writer called Eva Ibbotson.
Right.
She was an Austrian writer. She was a Jewish refugee, arrived in the UK in 1933. And all her books are about displaced people, but they are so funny. They're so sweet. She's amazing on human beings. They're one of those books where, like, if ever I'm feeling low, I can just disappear into that world. I recommend her so much. Eva Ibbotson is her name.
And when do you finish this this tour, this PR tour?
Friday week. I mean, I have bits and pieces during the summer, you know, where I go to festivals and stuff, which are always so nice. But, I mean, this has been... It's such an honour. To get to do this.
Yeah, of course it is.
You know, I still can't believe that this is my life.
Wow. Well, you deserve it because whoever dishes these things out has dished it to the right person. You're awesome.
You're so lovely.
Marianne Keys, her new book is My Favourite Mistake and it's out today and it's unbelievable.
Craving some great 80s music? Play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. I want your love. On DAB Digital Radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk. I got my mind set on you. Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Love Chris Evans. Woo! Love the 80s.
Virgin Radio.
80s Plus.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.